720 WGN. It is the 4th of July here in the Skyline studio. And one of the things that the 4th of July is known for, obviously, independence, our men and women in uniform, and all the things that make the excitement of this day for friends and family possible. But it's also known for food. And we're going to talk a little bit of food over the course of the show today. And in studio, we have the guys from Bite of Mexico. We've got Rick Barber. He's one of the co-owners, and Chef Ron Torres. Guys, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Dan.
You guys are going to want to be within a couple inches of the microphone. You know, we reached 38 states in Canada, and one of those states is Mokena. And we wanted to talk a little bit about it. You know, the restaurant is relatively new. And for those people in it, I've covered the restaurant and food scene for, you know, 20 plus years. It is one of the toughest businesses. I'm sure people told you when you guys, hey, we're going to open up a restaurant. Some people are like, that's so cool, because there's a romantic attachment. People love restaurants, right? It's a place where so many memories are made. But there's a lot of people, probably friends and family, who's like, you're crazy, right? It is. And of course, with the pandemic, it's a challenging business. So, guys, maybe, you know, Rick, talk a little bit about the restaurant, the inspiration, why you decided to start A Bite of Mexico.
Bite of Mexico was started because me and Ronnie are cousins, his dad and my mom, brother and sister. And Ronnie was doing it for a couple of years out of his house. He started with making salsas and then started a catering business. And it was going really well. And then we talked one day, and it was something, if we could find a spot that we wanted to do. It took us about a year to find a spot. And, you know, and then we said, are you ready? I said, are you ready? And he's like, yeah. I said, all right, let's go.
Some of those best formative decisions happen maybe on a day like today, after, you know, maybe a couple beers or something, right? You get inspired and maybe start thinking a little, you know, inspirational and crazy. So is that how it worked out?
Oh, absolutely. Just a passion we both had when we talked about it, and especially with it being our family and recipes and stuff like that that we brought towards the restaurant and the menu.
I love those stories when, and it starts in the right, in the best way. It isn't one of those, like, you can explain to people and they're like, oh, that sounds crazy. I don't know if you guys should do that. I'm sure people are always kind of weighing in with their opinions and perspective. But if you have something that you're passionate about, if you're doing something that you love, and we know that in the restaurant business, you really, in order to do it, it's a tough business outside of, you know, whether it was COVID or the finances, just the hours, right? And the commitment that you have to have. You have to be hardwired to do it. And if you've already got that passion for it and you're already sort of with a head start, you have fans of what it is that you do, you know, it makes it easier, right?
Yeah. You know, the thing about it is, I told Ron when we were getting started, I said, you got to be prepared for about 5 years of 24 hours a day to get this thing started and get this thing up and running. And I think he's putting in about 80 or 90 hours a week now. So
it could be a tough sell, Chef, but for you, was it, wow, this is an opportunity to take what it is I do, what it is I have been doing, have sort of a home team, right?
Absolutely.
And be able to also do what you do, but then expand it, and really kind of the sky's the limit.
Oh, for sure. The support from the family and friends and everything like that, and then just, you know, doing it with Rick, being, you know, family and everything, it's everything you can dream of about opening a restaurant.
Now, I haven't checked in with the Mokena Visitor and Tourism Bureau, so that's you guys today. When it came to the location to do it, you could do a restaurant anywhere. I've been down there, and for the listeners that haven't been, it is an emerging place, right? It's a place that sounds, a lot of listeners are going to hear this like, Mokena, wow, is that like Kankakee? No, it's not. It's a lot closer than you think. And there's a lot of industry building up, whether it's housing or businesses, industrial parks. There's a lot going on in Mokena.
Yes, there is a lot going on in Mokena. 10 years ago, it was pretty much farmland. And now it's all changed and it's moving. And, you know, we're about 45 minutes south of Chicago. But it's starting to pick up tremendously. A lot of nice restaurants are coming. It's building up out there. And, you know, I think in the future it's going to be even bigger.
So when you guys were starting, you talk about, you know, family supportive, friends supportive. What was some of the feedback that they had said? Obviously, you're leaning on them like, hey, guys, you haven't been in this week. It'd be nice to see you. I mean, what has been sort of that communication from basically your fans?
I mean, you know, the friends and everything telling you, you know, it's going to be very involved. You got to realize how much time and effort. But then the family just being supported, knowing the passion and the love that we have for the food. And then, you know, the fact that they can all come to the restaurant and have everything at once, not just like you go to this aunt's house, you're only going to have this. You go to this aunt's house, you're only going to have that. The menu consists of everything that our family cooked all together.
So we're going to get into that, some of the menu selections. And of course, when you are a salsa ninja like you are, that is a unique talent. It's one thing to have, you know, salsa, it's an afterthought. It's maybe something that just sort of kind of gets things going. It's something to have while you're waiting for the food to happen. But to have it be a real strength, to have it be a star, is something I feel it's unique. As a guy who's covered this in a lot of different ways, I haven't seen anybody leaning into it as much or as well, right, as you guys do.
Thank you. Yeah, that was just the way I started, just doing salsas out of the house. Have six different kinds, and it just took off from there. And like you said, it just, the food has great flavors, it is, but then to have that salsa that goes on top of it, it just enhances the flavor so much more.
I'm gonna put this to rest. You know, we talked a little bit off the air, and before we go to break, when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, the menu, some of the dishes, some of the events, and some of the things people experience at A Bite of Mexico. But on the way here, we're talking with Lori as well. There, not a lot of cicadas, but it was all the rage, all the talk.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I was shocked. Yeah, I remember it, you know, 17 years ago, right, where people talk about, hey, they have cicada infused cocktails or cicada dishes. I mean, some people, I guess, if you're on a deserted island or lost in the woods somewhere, I have the understanding that things that may not have seemed appetizing become possible, right, to survive.
Absolutely.
Were you guys lured in at all to add cicadas to the menu, even as a maybe a specialty dish?
No, people asked, but I was like, I can't go that route.
Was there in the restaurant community, is there like a BYOC, like a bring your own cicadas? Like, I got them in my purse, you know, like some people carry hot sauce.
I heard about all the craziness with it, and I'm like, I'm not going down that road.
All right, Bite of Mexico is a cicada-free zone. We come back, we're going to talk with Chef Ron and Rick about the menu, some of the things, of course, those amazing and renowned salsas, and then events coming up. So keep it here. It's the 4th of July. It's Dane on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is the 4th of July, a holiday known for fireworks. Now, of course, NASCAR. You've got stars and stripes, and of course, food, as long with our men and women in uniform. But it is a food holiday. We always talk about it, whether it's the grilling side of it. And we've got the folks from Bite of Mexico in with us. We got Rick Barba. He is the co-owner, along with other co-owner and chef Ron Torres. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before we went to break, we talked a little bit about the salsa side. And you, chef, as a salsa ninja, I don't know if there's, you know, because like in the wine world, you know, there's a sommelier, and the beer, there's a cicerone. Is there sort of a hierarchy or a ranking system for salsa masters?
I think you might have just created it.
Okay. Or like a salsa samurai.
There
right?
you go. There you go. I like that.
So when it came to that, and it is such a big part of it, and we'll talk about it, you say, you know, takes on classics. So if you think you've had, and there's a lot of great restaurants in Chicago and the suburbs, but the thing that you guys are doing is unique, and so it's worth a trip down there to go ahead and experience. You can eat anywhere, but to be able to try something that is really good and also the only place you can get it, I think is special. Talk about the salsa. You started making the salsa. Was it where you went to restaurants and you said, this just isn't doing it for me, and you decided, well, we can do better? Like, what was the inspiration just to start with the different flavors? Or people asking, like, you know, hey, chef, can you do this?
Yeah.
And
that was exactly it. And it was just, you know, creating a mild tomatillo and then spicing it up with chili arbol to make it a little bit, you know, have a kick to it. And then people were like, what about like a fruit salsa? And I'm like, well, that's more like a pico de gallo. But then I decided to do a mango habanero and a pineapple habanero salsa, which helps add flavor to so many different dishes. And then just doing like a traditional roasted red, you know, charring tomatoes and the vegetables that go into it, the peppers, and having a good spicy kick to that as well. And then one that I really fell in love with, studying like the Oaxacan style food, is a salsa.
Great food.
Yeah, salsa morita. So it's, you know, your dried chipotles that you toast and then char tomatillos and onions and garlic, and once you just blend it all together, it just has this great smoky, almost a little barbecue flavor to it, and it goes great with steak.
So as people come in, Do you have sort of, it's because it's, there's an educational piece to this, right? Because you don't want people to just think like they do, that they, hey, that's salsa, I know what it is, I'm going to go ahead and enjoy it or whatever. And they're like, hey, wait, this is crazy. And then you're able to share and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't stop there.
Right.
There's more.
Right. So, you know, it's like you'll suggest, you know, someone will order a Al Pastor, which already has like a pineapple flavor to it. So it'll be like, put the pineapple habanero on there and it just elevates that taco to the next level.
And so, Rick, when you guys were talking about, hey, let's do this, it's one thing to decide, hey, let's start a business. Sounds great. But then you get into all those details when it comes to the menu. And you mentioned a lot of these are family classics, yeah, dishes that you guys know and love. But a menu can only be so big, right? Was there a lot of back and forth on, oh, we got to include this, or I don't know, maybe that's not, I mean, how did it work as far as building the menu?
I think because of the being together, being a family and going through the recipes, that helped a lot. We were both on the same page with it. Ron's thing is about it being extremely fresh. Some people have said our menu's a little bit too small, but in order to keep it fresh like we want it, and that includes our drinks, everything fresh. You know, we squeeze 600 limes a week so we can have the fresh lime juice for our drink. So it's just he's really into fresh and having it that way, and that is really what I wanted when we started the restaurant, was it to be a really, that concept, really fresh.
Well, you know, like any family, you know, whether it's Thanksgiving dishes or holiday dishes or things, you know, there are sort of celebrity dishes like stars, like, oh, grandma's got to bring her this, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
And so describe a few of the things that you guys have known, loved, and been proud of that people can have at the restaurant.
Well, to start, Rick's mom's Aunt Caroline's tacos. They're the deep fried beef tacos and a little bit of potato in there, and they're just flavorful as can be.
Yeah, that started it. And then it's all the aunts. We have Aunt Jenny's pork and pepper, which is really, really good, and Emily's tamales, and it just goes on from there. You know, they all had their specialty, and when you went to their house, that's what you ate.
Mm-hmm. How do you, are you working this? Because I think maybe, do they feel that it's proprietary? Like, hey, that's my, do they have like naming rights? Are they arguing? Like, hey, I kind of came up with that. How does that work? How do you honor them while you're trying to put the menu together?
By creating their dish again. You know, well, you always went to their house. You knew Aunt Adele's enchiladas, you were going to be eating that there.
Yeah.
You know, Aunt Caroline's tacos. She would sit there and make hundreds of them for everybody and not worry about herself until she was done.
And on the menu, are their names included in the dishes?
Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Wow. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, that's great. Well, then they got to feel good. In fact, have you had any of the family members bringing maybe their friends over? You know, it's like if, let's say, you're on a TV show and then you happen to sit down and what happens to be on? Oh, wow. Right? Do they bring people in and be like, okay, hey, look who's on the menu?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Some of the aunts, you know, they're still with us. They come through and they love the fact that they see all their siblings, you know, listed in their specialty.
That's great. Plus, it's great to obligate them to bring people in and to come in and say, like, hey, you know, we got to publicize your dish. Well, one thing about the food, but you got to have stuff to wash it down with on the beverage side, whether it's the margaritas or whether it's some of the signature cocktails. And then when it comes to tequila, I read on the list here, and of course, I've been to the restaurant. It's described as vast. It's legitimate. Like, you are walking the walk on the vast. Talk a little bit about the tequila program and what's there.
Well, we have approximately about 80 tequilas on it, everywhere from Blanco, the Reposado, the Añejo, every different plan from very high end to low range stuff. But
would you call it low range, or would you say it's approachable?
It's approachable.
Yeah.
It's more approachable than the high end stuff. You may not want to buy the Casa Azul that goes for $275 a shot, but
maybe you do.
But it's there. Yeah. People have.
Oh, we have.
You're worth it. That's what you got to say. You got to say. So talk about maybe some of the, whether it's events. I know there's some things coming up. And then also, too, Chef, do you incorporate some of the tequila into some of the dishes? I mean, because that's one of the things when you have your own restaurant, you can do anything you want.
Yeah. So actually, we have some specials coming up where I'm going to do like a tequila lime infused shrimp dish as an appetizer. And then just kind of go from there, figure out how the best way to infuse tequilas into the dishes, specialty dishes, like for a weekend special.
What is the best way to do it? Is it to, you know, you pour while you, and maybe it's on fire, sort of, you know, is that kind of thing? Or
it's both ways.
Sort of the flavor?
It's marinating. You know, the shrimp will be marinated, but then it's also cooking and finishing it off with, you know, like you're saying, throw the tequila in the pan, get that huge, you know, sear going and really let it cook into it.
You know, and let's talk about some of the events coming up. One of the big holidays, huge holidays. This is the 4th of July. I don't know if there's like a totem pole of holidays. Like, what's the top one? You know, maybe it's like Christmas or, you know, things. I mean, these are big holidays. The 4th of July, huge, huge holiday. National Tequila Day. It's really growing. It's getting up there, right? And it's the kind of day that you want to celebrate. Talk about what you guys have going on for that.
We will have a tequila sampling on the 24th. And then our margaritas will be $10 on that day, anywhere from our house to where we add a prickly pear puree. We have mango purees. Everything we include into it is like a fresh puree. So, like, we just came out with a watermelon margarita that's been selling like crazy, a pina colada margarita that is absolutely to die for, and then a blueberry limoncello margarita as well.
Wow. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And have you guys found that tequila is having, and obviously El Bandido Yankee, you know, the official tequila of race day here on the racing side. Of course, you guys should incorporate that if you want to have the full complement of great tequilas, right? It should be built into it. But have you found it, you know, people love tequila. What was maybe 10 years ago this thing that you sort of survived with the salt and the lot, right? You just you lived through it. Or we remember bringing it back from spring break and it was just absolutely awful, but we would have drank rubbing, you know, we would have drank anything, right? Now it's something to be really enjoyed.
Yeah, there's no more. You don't need the salt and the lime anymore. The tequilas are smooth. They taste good. There's no burn. There's some really good tequilas out there.
So you can have great tequilas, great family classics, all that not too far away in Mokena. Guys, before we end the segment, give the address and the website.
Sure. It's A Bite of Mexico at 11220 West Lincoln Highway in Mokena. And then the website is abiteofmexico.com.
And reservations, or you can just come on in and enjoy. What are the hours?
Open seating. We do take reservations for parties of 8 or more. We are Sunday through Wednesday, 11 to 9, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 11 to 10 o'clock, the kitchen closes, and then we're open till midnight with the bar.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. Love what you guys are doing. Thanks so much for coming in on the 4th of July.
Thanks for having us.